Thanks for tuning in, Jet Nation. You are listening to Joe Vinny and the Jets. Be sure to follow at Jet Nation on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And check out our forums. Jet Nation is your home for uncensored Jets talk. Now, here's your hosts, Joe Blewett and Vinny Latarocca.
And welcome to another edition of Joe, Vinny, and the Jets. Training camp is approaching, Vinny. You know, it's starting a couple of weeks now, so we're really going to start to get into the roster a little bit. I want to talk about a little bit of the weaknesses on the defense. We did the offense last week. We're going to talk some bold predictions. You know, it's that time of the year where there's not too much to talk about, so we'll get into some bold predictions, some veterans on the roster bubble, surprise cuts, surprise makes. Let's talk about some rookies, you know, their stat projections, or at least what you can – you know, expect to see from that, at least right now. Obviously, it's hard to tell. It's only July, and people are going to say, oh, it's not training camp. You're not seeing them in the offense, things like that. But we're going to have some fun and, you know, talk about that. But I know the Mets are playing right now, and the Mets, you can get a little frustration with the Mets, Vinny, because I've been watching. You know, I haven't been able to watch too much because I've been at work and things like that. But from Twitter, from looking at your Twitter, from things you've been saying, give me just talk real quick about how bad the Mets hitting actually is, because there's a Cardinals, I believe it was against the Cardinals, Vinny, or the Nationals,
yes,
wherever game that was, where we went to the 18 innings or something like that because they couldn't hit a damn ball. So just, you know, express some of your frustration on the Mets right now. Go ahead. I'll give you a minute.
Hey, first off, how's it going? welcome, Jet Nation, everyone out there. But, you know, quick tidbit on the Mets. And, I mean, there's some Mets fans out there. You know, just, I mean, this team is in the middle of a pennant race. I mean, it's just, it's very, very hard to watch. Again, like you said, the 18-inning game. Just think about this. In the last 80 times they've had a runner in scoring position, meaning second or third base, they've got to hit four times. It is actually hard to do. But, you know, right now, actually beating the Nationals 1-0. But, you know, I'm trying to get my mind off this. You know, I turn the TV off because I just can't watch it anymore. But, you know, I mean, ready for, you know, next weekend, training camp starts. Going to be something, you know, something everyone's looking forward to. You know, I know Jet Nation is really excited to see everyone out there. Like you said, the rookies, you know, I really can't wait to see what Devin Smith, you know, looks like on that field. Can't wait to, you know, obviously Leonard Williams looks like. You know, it's a whole new, you know, all new coaching system, you know, but, you know, it's going to be exciting stuff. It's a brand new feeling, you know, it's going to be in Forum Park. You know, we'll be there. We'll be there shortly. I would say we'll be there in about 2 weeks. You know, I know there's, I think, 7 or 8, open practices for the public to attend. But we'll be there, seeing them out, you know, letting Jet Nation how they're looking. But I know it's exciting times right now. You know, I mean, sad to say the Mets, you know, it's hard to watch them, but they are in the middle of a pennant race. You know, at least they're, you know, playing meaningful baseball, and the Jets are right around the corner. So can't really ask for too much.
Yeah, you know, no, like I'm obviously not as diehard of a fan as Vinny is. Vinny's a diehard Mets fan. Just like he's a Jets fan. I'm not too big into baseball. More of a basketball, hockey, football kind of guy. But from the outsider's perspective, I'm a lower tier Mets fan. But to have all that pitching with DeGrom and Harvey and all these guys, and to have no hitters, it seems a little bit ridiculous. You know, in the other sports world, my Nets, you know, got Bargnani. You know, your seventh
savior. You can have him, baby.
I'm just saying, you guys traded a first round pick, 2 second round picks, and paid him like $14 million, and we got him for a vet min. So. But no, you were talking about the rookies. So let's do this. You know, obviously the show, we had a show right after the draft. You were on it. I honestly forget what we talked about. That was in April or May. So we're going to do a little bit of the rookie stat projection. So obviously Leonard Williams is going to be playing in the first four games. I'm not expecting the guy to come out in the first four games and produce a whole bunch of sacks. He's not going to come out and get a sack a game. It's not what happens. It's not what happened to Wilkerson. He didn't come out and get a whole bunch of sacks. I think Sheldon Richardson only had, three sacks in his rookie year. So it's really hard for rookies to adjust to pass rushing. It's a lot more difficult than people think it is. And obviously Leonard Williams has more of a chance to shine because he's alongside Wilkerson and Sheldon and Damon Harrison, who we'll talk about a little bit later. He's been underrated. And people just think it's really easy to, you know, kick him out the door and we can just keep the other guys, but they don't realize how really important a guy like Damon Harrison is. And then you have the secondary. So he has a chance to shine, but what are you looking at? Like, if you had to guess right now, Vinny, it's, like I said, it's hard to guess. It's training camp. We'll probably be 120% wrong and we'll not even be close, but it's that time of the year right now where there's not a whole bunch to talk about. So, you know, let's do some rookie stat projections. What are you looking at for Leonard Williams? What would you be happy with, and what is your realistic expectation of what he can do in his rookie year?
Well, I mean, we were talking about this before, you know, a little earlier in the day. You know, and I was looking at a chart of a bunch of players, you know, rookie defensive linemen in the past few years, and their stats. I looked at guys like J.J. Watt, who put up 5.5 sacks, like Marcel Darius and Fletcher Cox, also putting up 5.5 sacks. Now, the breakout guy last year who led, you know, I think it was the last 4 years for defensive rookie defensive lineman was Aaron Donald from the Rams, who put up 9 sacks. So, I mean, realistically, from a guy like Leonard Williams, I mean, like you just said, playing alongside these guys, like Damon Harrison is going to require a double team, like a Mo Wilkerson is going to require a double team, like a Sheldon Richardson, who, you know, in most cases is going to try, you know, he's going to get double. I mean, how many guys can you double team when you have these, you know, when you have these four on the line? You know, and before even adding the outside linebackers and Copels and, you know, and a Lorenzo Maldon, and like you said, the secondary. So, I mean, right now, you know, Leonard Williams is known for that run-stuffing, you know, mentality, run-stuffing approach. But I really think this guy can get I'm looking for a double-digit tackles for loss. That's what I'm really going for. I mean, sacks, I'm not really keeping a big eye on that. I know Mo Wilkerson had 3.5 sacks in the rookie year.
No, this is not how we're doing it. You have to give me his sacks.
All right.
Give me tackles. Give me sacks. Don't dance around. Don't beat around the bush. I want stats from Vinny Lataraca. I'm gonna write them down, and if you're wrong, we're gonna find a new co-host.
All right, but hey, babe, sounds good. I don't know, Leonard Williams. I'm saying rookie year is gonna end up 7.5 sacks, 14 tackles for loss.
Wow.
And I'm gonna go 7.5 sacks. I think he's had a big year, mainly because those first four games he's gonna have such ample opportunity to rush the passer. I mean, that's going to be – I think he's going to have a great first four games, maybe like 3 sacks, 2 or 3 sacks, especially, you know, he's going to be shining on Monday Night Football Week 2. You know, hopefully we'll be there in Indianapolis. I think this guy can put up 7 sacks, you know, 5 to 8 sacks. I think that's not asking for too much. I mean, maybe some outsiders may think that's a stretch at this point. But when you really look at this Jets team and the way Todd Bowles uses that defense, well, as blitz schemes, similar to Rex Ryan, you know, this guy's going to have a lot of chance to shine, you know. And, yeah, like I said, not even mentioning the outside linebackers. I mean, a lot of guys are going to have one-on-one coverage. Leonard Williams be one of them. So, again, I would say, you know, 7.5 sacks, double-digit tackle for losses, and around, you know, I'd say 30 to 40 solo tackles, maybe 50 to 60 total. And that's what I'm going for. I'm not sure what you're thinking. I'm trying to set a high standard. Hope, hey, maybe Leonard Williams is listening to this. You never know.
I understand what you're doing. You know, you're new to the show. You're trying to get Jets fans on your side, so you're buttering them up a little bit with some false statistics.
Right.
And, you know, false hope that the Jets usually have. No, I'm kidding. But, you know, like you said, the secondary, he'll have more opportunities. Just like, you know, Damon Harrison said this week that Todd Bowles is going to blitz more. He's not going to have the, you know, Damon Harrison – you know, 2 gapping where he's basically just trying to eat up 2 gaps where he can stuff the run. He's actually going to have some, you know, pass rushing plays where he actually gets a chance to go after the passer. And the thing with Leonard Williams, too, you heard a lot in college, he didn't rush the passer a lot. You know, he didn't get to the quarterback, but then you actually hear Leonard Williams come out after the draft and say that USC was more of a look and see kind of thing where they kind of just stood up the offensive lineman, and it was more of a read and react kind of thing where they really wanted to play the run, and that he wasn't really dependent too much on for pass rushing. And then you look at, too, that, you know, obviously Leonard Williams isn't going to get as much playing time as a Harrison or as a Sheldon or as a Wilkerson, but then you also look at Todd Bowles' defense, and he had 4 defensive linemen exceed 400 snaps. So he's definitely going to get his opportunities, and he's going to, you know, there's going to be times where it's not him, and it's maybe a guy like TJ Barnes, or it's maybe it's a guy like a Vickerson, or like a Duzible who's in, or maybe even a Copel. So I don't think he's going to, you know, get 7 sacks and a whole bunch of tackles for Lawson. That's just my opinion. It could easily happen. Like you said, there's a guy like J.J. Watt who got, what do you say, 5.5, but then there's a guy like Aaron Donald who's a defensive tackle who got 9 last year. So it could easily happen. But if I had to guess, I would say, you know, 35 to 40 tackles. I would say 4 to 4.5 sacks. And I'm going to say 8 or 9 tackles for loss. That's what I would project from him. You know, the first four games, I don't expect him to come and, you know, look like Muhammad Wilkerson or Sheldon Richardson. It's just not going to happen. It takes a lot of time to adjust to, you know, offensive linemen who everyone you face is 10 times better than the best one you face in college, basically. Unless you're going, you know, against a Willie Colon or a Wayne Hunter, then they're probably worse than the guys you face in college. We're gonna pump the brakes a little bit on the stat projections, Vinny, because we're gonna bring on our very loyal and good fan, good caller on the show right now, and it is Zach, and he wants to talk about some predictions. So, what's up, Zach? How you doing, man?
What's going on, guys? How you doing?
What's up, Zach?
Doing great.
I just want to make a few predictions on how the season's gonna go. Offensively, I think Geno's going to have to be the guy, for the Jets, in order to be successful. Their wide receivers, they're self-explanatory. They're very, very good. You have Eric Decker, Brandon Marshall. And then you got, your slot, which you can pick and choose between Decker and Curley. And then you got Devin Smith. So I really think, this is probably going to be the best offense Geno Smith's had to deal with, and I hope he uses it to his advantage. And I really hope he uses it and he proves a lot of fans wrong, because I know there are a lot of doubters. But I feel this Geno is going to wake up. He's going to remind himself this is do or die season for me. And I think offensively, he's going to have to be the guy who orchestrates, how everybody else plays on offense. Defensively, I think, it goes without saying, we obviously brought back, two of our main core guys, who we should have never gotten rid of. But, Revis and Cromartie, are back. Our safeties are amazing. We have, Pryor, Antonio Allen. Even with the additions of Gilchrist and Screen, this Jets defense is loaded. Linebackers, cornerbacks, safeties, front four. This three-four defense, can really, really scare a lot of teams. I really think this team defensively will be number one. Just the way they built themselves, obviously with the addition of Coach Bowles, that was a huge addition for us in the offseason. I really think defensively and offensively, this team has potential, to be, a 10-6. In my mind, I think this team can be 11-5. Just the way they're built, they're a win now situation, and I don't really think anything's going to stop them.
Yeah, well, no. If I understand what you're saying, I wouldn't really say 11-5 yet. But if you're talking about Geno Smith and he's going to succeed, and he's really going to take that next step, which is obviously a huge question mark. But if he turns into a Andy Dalton or an Alex Smith, if he just plays decently this year, where he can manage the ball, then he could definitely, we could definitely be a middle of the tier offense. So you said predictions, Zach. So I want to hear, where is the offense going to finish? Obviously, the stats are skewed a little bit where it just goes by yards and things like that. But if you had to, rank the offense, if you had to rank the defense, obviously you just said number one, which I think there's definitely potential to be there. You look at the defensive line, and yeah, are there teams like the Rams and like the Bills and like the Dolphins who have, close to as good defensive lines, or maybe even a better a little bit with the Bills probably. But then you look at secondaries, with the Seahawks and the Browns who have really good secondaries are almost as good as ours, but there's no combination. There's no team that has as good of a defensive line and linebackers and as good as corners. And that's just my personal opinion. But at the same time, you also have a new defensive coordinator, a new coach. So, don't expect the Jets to come out in the first 4 to 6 weeks and just completely dominate. There's going to be some hiccups. There's going to be some, missed assignments and bad timeouts and things like that, just because the team has to adjust to each other. Todd Bowles has to adjust to his team, and Todd Bowles has to get used to, being a head coach. But, give me your ranking. Let's say offense 20, defense top five or top three. What do you think, Zach?
Yeah, I'll pull pretty bold here. Sounds pretty crazy.
I like it a lot.
Yeah, you're going to like what I'm about to tell you. I think this offense and defense, I think they're both potentially, if not, they're both going to be top five. That's how bold I'm thinking. I think they have such a good, great unit. It's kind of, ridiculous because, they were, pretty much dead last or, But I just think he's got too much to not do well, you know? I think he's really...
Me and Vinny are talking about it, Zach.
That's pushing it, Ben.
Yeah, no, you look at the defense, you look at the safety position. We're going to talk about it a little bit, Zach. I know you listen, so you'll hear us talk about some of the weaknesses on the defense. You look at, you know, safety is a little bit of a concern. Coverage and linebackers a little bit of concern. I'm not going to act like the offensive line is, you know, a top offensive line. Is it middle of the pack? Yeah, it probably is. In my opinion, it's probably middle of the pack, maybe a little bit below. It could be a little bit above middle of the pack. It depends on how they play together and how a guy like a Jarvis Harrison steps up or a Odey Egbuchi. But to think this offense is going to be top five with Geno as a quarterback, I don't agree. That's your opinion. But you know, Vinny? What do you think? This offense could be, you know, top five. What do you think?
Yeah, it could be top five if we had a top 15 quarterback. But I mean, Geno Smith, at this point in his career, is like ESPN insiders came out today, ranked him the last 32nd out of among the starting quarterbacks in the NFL. But I mean, top five, hey, man, I think we're all hoping for that eventually one day. But, offense, has a chance to be a top, I would say top 15 offense. I mean, top five. I'm thinking that, teams like the Patriots and Saints don't even finish top five every year. So, I mean, it's going to be a stretch. Obviously, you want to talk about bold, Zach. I mean, yeah, if you want to be bold, then you certainly did that. But, now, right now, with this, there's just too many question marks right now. And it's just too many question marks with this offensive line. You know, when you look at really everyone coming back, even with Brandon Marshall and Eric Decker, these guys, you know, got hurt last year. I know with Nixon next, same with Chris Ivory, same with Stephen Ridley. I mean, you're hoping everyone comes back healthy, which I think, it's not going to be that big of a question mark. But, I mean, that means, you know, a lot of people are going to be taking steps. So Jason Morrow is going to take a big step. Jeff Cumberland is going to rebound. I mean, there's just too many question marks. Say it's going to be a top five offense. I mean, I think this can be a top 15 offense, between 15 and 20, and that's all they really need to be, because I do believe this defense is going to finish top five.
I think if this defense didn't finish top five, it would be a little bit of a disappointment. But I'm telling you right now that if this offense finishes top five and this defense finishes top five, I will seriously, Zach, you can drive down to New Jersey where I live, and you can tie me up to the back of a car and drag me a mile through broken glass. You know, I really don't think that will happen, especially with Geno. This offense was one of the worst, if not the worst offense in the league last year, especially when you look at the red zone, how many mistakes they had. Geno being at the 30-yard line, taking 15-yard sacks, getting outside of field goal range. There's still going to be those mistakes. It's not like it's, you know, Chan Gailey's third year where he's going to have a whole bunch of chemistry with his team. There's going to be hiccups, like I said, and that will definitely hurt us in the beginning of the year. I don't think too much, but it will definitely hurt us. So I don't know about, you know, top five necessarily, but if that happened, I'm telling you, the Jets will definitely, be in the playoffs. That definitely, you know, we'll be in the Super Bowl for top
five.
They'll be
14 wins. You kidding me?
If this offense, like you said, Vinny, if it can finish 20th, if it can finish a little bit below middle of the pack, that's all this Jets team needs. You know, look at 2009, 2010. You know, they were really good at running the ball, but they couldn't pass for their lives. So, it's top five is a little bit of a stretch to me. But what do you think about the defense, Zach? You know, are you expecting top five? And if they don't get top five, are you disappointed? Or do you really, you know, can you guarantee that they're going to be number one defense in the league this year?
For defense, I mean, you can never guarantee anything. But I would definitely say, you know, the Jets are definitely, you know, top five. It's not a top three defense. I think they're really solid. You know, they're loaded. You know, the off-season additions, you know, they're going to say itself. I really just think this is the most complete Jet team we've seen in a really, really, really long time. I mean, the only question right now for the Jets is Geno Smith. Everything else is filled. You know, you got special teams. You got, you know, offense, defense. You know, you added some weapons, you know. Now they're going to make a ton of life. Life is going to be easier for Geno Smith. I really hope he takes advantage of this. This is, you know, once in a life opportunity, because who knows, you know, how long, you know, Brandon Marshall, how many years has he got, you know, in his career? And, you know, with all, you know, these young talent, you know, the guys who they added, you know, on both sides of the ball, I think this team has potential to be really, really good. Defensively, I would say top three. Offensively, I mean, top five is pretty, big bold, but, I really think they can be, you know, a top 10, you know, top 5, top 10 team on offense, for sure.
Yeah, no, hey, Zach, if it actually happens, you can be the first one to call the show after the season. You can gloat in our face and tell us we were wrong. I don't think, you know, that's necessarily going to happen. But if it does, you know, you're the guy who said it, and we like the bold predictions. We definitely appreciate the support, Zach. We're going to get another caller now, but definitely call in next week, and thank you for your support.
No problem, guys. Anytime. Take it easy.
Later, Zach.
All right, and now we are bringing on Steve, who wants to talk a little bit about D. Milner and a possible position change. Steve, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can. So I read something about it this morning, and I wasn't sure if there was any truth to it, but it would be interesting if D. Milner moved to free safety. It worked for Devin McCourty out in New England.
Yep. Yeah, no, I think I saw that same article. Yeah, they were talking about D. Milner, you know, if everything goes right, you know, that potentially, you know, even if healthy entering camp, he's going to be the number four, you know, the number four cornerback on this team. So, man, why not, you know, be more flexible and have a chance to, you know, to move to a, you know, a free safety spot, you know, where this team is, you know, yeah, I mean, they got Calvin Pryor, they got Marcus Gilchrist, but I mean, there's still a lot of uncertainty there. So, I mean, I would, you know, personally, I would, hey, try it out, you know, early on in camp. Because, I mean, what's there to lose? Like you said, like if he can be half of what Devin McCourty turned out to be in that position change, I think the Jets take that in a heartbeat.
I mean, he's an Alabama defense prospect.
Yeah.
Yeah. No. See, I think it's more of the fact that they should draft him ninth as a corner. They should keep him at corner. But do I think that he should be able to have some flexibility? Where, you know, obviously a guy like Marcus Gilchrist, in college he played a little bit of nickel corner. He played safety. He did the same thing with the Chargers, where he mismatched between, you know, a slot corner and safety. But I think keeping a guy like D. Milner at corner would be smart for now, and maybe a little bit of flexibility where he can play safety, where, you know, it's a special package where he comes in as a safety. Then yeah, I could see that. But, you know, he's a ninth overall pick. You're not sure if a guy like, you know, Darrell Revis is going to go down. Obviously, he tore his ACL, and he just revealed that he actually had microfracture surgery during that time, too, and he actually thought about retiring. You have a guy in, you know, Cromartie, who we saw in 2013. He looked like a complete bum. And then 2014, he looked like, you know, the old Cromartie, where he only let up, I believe, 2 touchdowns to Peyton Manning. So a guy like Cromartie could easily decline quickly and get injured. So I think a guy like D. Milner, to keep him at corner right now, is good for the future. You know, you're looking at the future. I know right now, would it be awesome to have D. Milner really play good at free safety? But we signed a guy in Gilchrist for that money for him to play at free safety right now. Obviously, a guy like Calvin Pryor is going to play at strong safety. And then there's going to be some other mismatching where a guy like Gilchrist could be a slot or whatever it may be. But I think it's the best, you know, option to keep D. Milner right now as a cornerback. So when a guy like a Revis leaves, or like a guy like Cromartie leaves, like Vinny said, he's going to be fourth string. He's not going to be playing too much, so he'll be rested, and hopefully he can heal back for some of those injuries. When those guys leave, then you know, he's experienced, he's learned from the best, you know, and he has that, you know, health to him, hopefully. But Steve, you know, we just talked to Zach about the defense. We talked a little about the offense, but you just called about defense. You know, give me your prediction on this defense. You know, what do you think are some weaknesses of this defense, or at least give me your top two concerns with this defense? Me and Vinny talk about it in a little bit. But, you know, where do you think they'll rank? You know, what is a acceptable level or rank for them? And, you know, what are their weaknesses that you see, at least right now?
Okay, well, this year I would say probably the best defense in the NFL is Seattle. And then 2 and 3 have got to be the Jets and Buffalo. I don't know which one's 2, which one's 3, but I would put them as the only real weakness. Like I said, I think free safety is the only real weakness. I don't really like Marcus Gilchrist that much. He was pretty bad in San Diego. But, I mean, that's why if D. Milner somehow could move over and just take that spot, their defense would be disgusting.
Yeah, man, I really hope they at least try it out early on in camp, because, you know, hey, Devin McCourty also was a first-round pick. But, you know, Bill Belichick, the great defensive mind that he was, you know, saw that, you know, hey, might as well try him out early in camp, which he did a few years ago. And it turned out to be a great move. You know, he still plays the cover corner, you know, sometimes in that Patriots secondary. You know, like you just said, Marcus Gilchrist struggled at times. He, too, lined up, you know, as a cornerback. He's a little small. You know, he's very quick, but, you know, he's a hard hitter. He's not the best in coverage, as we've seen in tape last year. His best game, of course, was against the Jets. But, you know, I mean, there's a lot of, you know, there's so many question marks on the defensive side of the ball. You know, obviously on paper, this is like you said, a top three, you know, behind Seattle. I think they're the second best, you know, defense on paper. But, I mean, there's so many new things coming into play, new defensive coordinator, a new head coach. I mean, there's just so much, you know, there's so much out of sync, you know, and their camp hasn't even started yet. So, I mean, when this all happens in, you know, in camp, I think there's going to be a lot of question marks answered early. You know, if Cromartie shows no ill effects of that hip, which he didn't show any last year, if Revis, you know, looks like the Revis of old, I think, you know, this defense is going to have no issues at any position, really, because, you know, when you put those two back like what they were last year, you know, these safeties can be mediocre and succeed.
No, yeah. Well, the thing with Gilchrist, too, is, you know, go ahead. Did we lose Steve? I think I heard some echo in the background. Like I heard myself talking. But no, you talk about Gilchrist. You know, you think that with him leaving San Diego, I'm not sure if San Diego fans are just kind of bad. I heard honestly that they're not great fans. They're kind of fair weather fans, so we don't really know too much about their opinion or if we really could value their opinion. But we've heard a lot that they didn't really like a guy like Marcus Gilchrist. In 2013, he actually had a really productive year. But in 2014, for whatever reason, he struggled a little bit. So, you know, look at free safety. That's definitely a concern. But like I said, keeping a 9th overall pick at his position of strength when, you know, the top two guys on the team are getting a little bit older, I think is a smarter thing to do for him to learn behind those guys. And he honestly might not even be playing fourth corner this year. You know, a guy like a Marcus Williams, who played number one for us pretty adequately, could be the four. A guy like Dexter McDougal, who had a good training camp and is having good practices this year so far, could be the fifth. You never really know. They don't really have any, you know, they don't owe D. Miller anything. They didn't draft him. They're coming in. It's a new regime. But, you know, like you said, with the defenses on paper, I think the Jets could, you know, I think you can argue who's number one and who's number two with Seattle and the Jets, because the secondaries, obviously they have Earl Thomas, and they have, you know, Cam Chancellor, and they have Sherman. But, you know, they have Kerry Williams, I think, from Philadelphia last year. He's a weak point. You look at Revis and Cromartie versus their corners. I think Revis on paper is better than Sherman. I don't know if you agree with me, Steve, but I do think that Revis is better than Sherman because he follows the best receiver. He doesn't just play a zone like Sherman does. You look at the defensive line, the Jets definitely have a better defensive line. That's undoubtedly, you can't argue that. Yeah. But then they have better linebackers. You look at Bobby Wagner, who's probably, you know, in my opinion, a top four linebacker, inside linebacker in this entire league. So you can definitely argue. And then you look at Buffalo, you know, their defensive line is probably better than ours just because of the fact that they actually play a 4-3 and all four of their guys are on the field at the same time. So, you know, you can argue. It's going to be fun to see the whole entire year. Who's going to be number one, who's going to be two, who's going to be three. And obviously it's a little bit skewed, Steve and Vinny. We both know that. The Jets weren't the sixth best defense last year. There's no way. There were so many times where the Jets, it would be a 3rd and 12. They couldn't get off the field. They'd be in the red zone. They couldn't, they couldn't stop them. So there was a time where the Jets couldn't stop a nosebleed last year, and they were still the sixth defense. So it's really all based on opinion who really is the defense. I think you have to take, you know, everything into account. You have to look at the red zone statistics. You have to look at third down. You have to look at, you know, just about everything. So is it going to be fun to see who's, you know, in your opinion, is going to be the best defense? You know, it definitely is, and I'm definitely excited for that. Steve and me and Vinny will be going to training camp to see that. But Steve, you have any other questions for us? Anything you want to hit on?
No, I think that's it. Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Okay, awesome, Steve. I believe that is your first time calling, so we definitely appreciate it. We hope you call back in. Maybe next week talk about some Brandon Marshall or some Geno, whatever you want to do.
I go to West Virginia. I love Geno.
My friend goes up there. You know, it's 9 o'clock. It's 8:30. It's a little late for you not to be drinking. You know, I heard West Virginia is a crazy party school. Definitely have fun up there. One of my friends goes up there. I heard it's a great time. It's a great school. If you have time, any of those Tuesday to call back in, we definitely appreciate it. And we definitely appreciate your support, Steve.
All right, cool. Thanks. All right, Steve.
That's all, man.
All right. Thank you.
And now we are going to try to bring on Tom, who wants to talk a little bit about D. Milner. Also, hopefully this works right now. It's sketching out a little bit. All right, Tom, what is up, my man?
What's going on, Joe? What up, Vinny?
What up, man?
Not much. How you guys doing today?
Not
too shabby.
Yeah, I just want to say one thing about D. Milner before I talk about something else. Is that changing his position will not help him stay on the field. So regardless of position changed. If he can't stay healthy, he's not going to play. There's really no other argument for that.
Yeah, you know, I mean, you know, guys, you know, go ahead, Joe.
No, no, Vinny, you know, you take the floor. This is your show.
You know what I mean? When you look at Dee Milner, I mean, you know, since dating back to, you know, his college days, you know, this guy just couldn't stay on the field. I mean, when he was, you know, he's been, you know, obviously, you know, pretty productive. I mean, you know, this guy has, you know, I think it was, what, six surgeries, you know, before the Jets drafted him, and now make it a seventh with that Achilles. I mean, yeah, obviously, if he can't stay on the field, he's not going to, you know, not going to play, but – I mean, you know, this guy, like I said before, he's going to be the fourth cornerback. I mean, you know, there's going to be times where he's going to, you know, have to be on the field as a cornerback. But I don't think it's going to hurt, you know, to at least try him out, you know, at a safety position that, you know, the Jets have really struggled at, you know, as we know, the last, who knows, the last 5-10 years, nobody had Ed Reed come in, you know, at the end of his career, for Pete's sake, to play a few games. Guy was, you know, talk about guy who was 35 playing with one leg, a half a hip, you know, and he was playing safety. But, I mean, Dee Milner, you know, obviously this guy, ninth pick, you know, you want him to be that top-notch shutdown corner that we envisioned him being. But, I mean, hey, it's not going to hurt to try him at safety.
No, Vinny, I think you're playing a little bit too much Madden, you know, where you're switching positions and you get a little bit extra at corner.
Don't even have Madden. Don't even have Madden.
You're switching Dee Milner to free safety. No, it's okay. It's okay, man, but I understand. But, you know, you have a guy in Dee Milner who was the ninth pick. Like Tom said, he's already been injured, you know, a lot. He flashed a lot in his rookie year. Last four games of the year, he did really look like a stud, and he actually won Defensive Rookie of the Month that month. So he actually has potential. You know, beginning of the year, yeah, did he struggle against the Packers, but you can tell he was playing on a gimpy leg, and he looked hurt the entire game. So to take a guy who's already injured a lot, you're talking about shoulder injuries or ankle injuries, you want to put him at a position in safety where he's going to get hit a lot more. He's going to get hit by guys like Eddie Lacy or, you know, big running backs, Marshawn Lynch, whoever they may be playing. I don't think it's very smart to move him to safety. If you want, you know, if Bowles wants to play him in a safety look or two a game to try to confuse people and move Marcus Gilchrist over to a corner or, you know, things like that, I understand that and give me, you know, a little bit of versatility. But you have a guy in Dee Milner who's drafted ninth out of Alabama who has a load of potential. It's really the injuries that have hurt him. We really haven't seen him since his rookie year. And, you know, we heard last year that he's having an amazing training camp, but we really can't put too much, you know, money on that because Tim Tebow had a lot of good training camps. Copels has a lot of good training camps, and so does Stephen Hill. So you can't really, you know, put a lot of money on that. But, Tom, what else do you want to talk about other than Milner?
I wanted to ask you, do you guys think that the Sheldon Richardson, how he got suspended for the four games, do you think that's going to affect our defense whatsoever? Because I believe that Snacks can handle the D-tackle position without a doubt. Now, I don't think with everybody else that we have, I don't think that Sheldon Richardson, his absence is really going to put us back anything, really, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, it's not what the Jets envisioned, but maybe they knew a little something. You know, maybe they obviously had to know that he failed at least one test before the draft. Maybe that's why they drafted a guy like Leonard Williams. But like you said, Snacks has been all over the headlines this week. You know, like you said, he's going to get more times to rush the passer. He thinks he's the best nose tackle. And it's a guy, like you said, I don't think he's going to miss a beat even without Sheldon Richardson. Because when you have a guy like Muhammad Wilkerson and a guy like Leonard Williams, you know, a guy like Quinn Coples, all these guys, Lorenzo Malden, Calvin Pace, you know, I don't think this Jets defense is really going to miss a beat. If anything, you know, they're just going to get more opportunities to make plays. I think, you know, with Sheldon Richardson, obviously the guy's a beast, you know.
Am I allowed to just interrupt and pump the brakes here a little bit? You're talking about Calvin Pace and Lorenzo Malden and Damon Snacks Harrison, who's a nose tackle, who's 350 pounds compared to Sheldon Richardson, who's more of a defensive end. I know he's listed at defensive tackle. I don't understand why, but he's arguably the second best defense or 3-4 defensive end in the league. And to say that we're not going to miss a guy like Sheldon Richardson for the first four games, who clearly makes a huge impact in the running game and pass rushing. A guy like Damon Harrison cannot rush the pass Sheldon Richardson. You know, I think it's a little bit crazy that you guys are saying, or, you know, Tom and Vinny are saying that, you know, we're going to not skip a beat with the second.
Hey, I don't think it's going to be that, you know. I mean, obviously he's the guy, like you said, he's a top five at his position in the NFL. I mean, with Coach Bowles, I don't think that they're going to miss him, that much. I mean, obviously they're going to miss him, but not going to be
I know you and Tom are huge Mets fans, and you guys are just, you know, depressed right now. You're drinking whiskey all the time, and you're probably drunk right now talking to the show. But you cannot say that us missing a guy like Sheldon Richardson for four games, it will not affect this defense. There's no freaking way. He's way too good. Tom, I don't know what you're smoking over there. I know you live close to Leonardo.
Nothing good, bro.
you have to quit it. I think we will miss him. There's no way. In my personal opinion, he's the second best 3-4 defensive end in the league. You look at his pass rush ability, his run stuffing ability. He's definitely gonna be missed. But Tom, what do you think about the whole Muhammad Wilkerson and Sheldon situation? Would you rather have a guy like Sheldon? Me and Vinny have talked about it time and time again. We talked about it last show, the show before that. Would you rather have a guy in Sheldon Richardson who recently we figured out it might have not even have been 2 failed tests? It could have possibly been 4 failed tests. They don't know exactly what happened, but they said it could actually be up to going to 4 because the first 3 could be money fines, and we wouldn't have had it figured out about that. Would you rather sign a guy in Sheldon who is more all about himself and more about the money, who's probably going to be signing for $16 million a year and who's already talked about himself wanting, that $100 million contract? Or would you rather, sign a guy in Wilkerson who's humble, who probably is going to make around 13 to 13.5, and he's really about the team? What would you rather do?
I'd rather have Wilkerson. I'd rather have someone who's more about the team and is going to be a leader in the locker room rather than have a guy pay him a buttload of money for him to just sit there and worry about himself, worry about his own stats. That's not what the NFL and that's not what football is about. It's a team sport. And I feel like if we don't pay Muhammad Wilkerson, that's a terrible, terrible mistake. And if I had to choose one or the other, I would choose Wilkerson, even though his stats aren't as standout-ish as Sheldon's are. But I would much rather have the guy in the locker room who's going to cheer up the guys and rally around him and have a guy like that than have someone who's just going to go out there and try to get that sack to make it 13 on the year. I'd rather have the team player than the individual players.
Yeah, you already saw him getting frustrated last year in the locker room after some games, blowing off the media a little bit. And you look at a guy like Wilkerson, who's done everything right. Vinny has said it 100 times. What else does he have to do to get paid? And then you look at the Josh Gordons of the world. You look at the Justin Blackmans with these suspensions. The next suspension, I'm not really too sure because it's a little bit cloudy. But some people are saying it could be 8 games. The next one, some people are saying it could be 16. But regardless, do you want to pay a guy $16 million a year when there's a possibility of him? I'm not saying this is. I'm just bringing up questions here. I'm not saying who to sign. But I'm just bringing up, what you have to think about. Is he going to get suspended for another 8 games, or is he going to get suspended for a season? And you look at a guy like Wilkerson, who's never been in trouble. He's had some injury problems, at least a little bit last year, but not too many after that. Who are you going to pay? Wilkerson is one of my favorite guys. I actually have his jersey. Vinny, what do you think? We've talked about it before, but if you had to give an answer right now, what do you do? And it's something else to think about too is, the salary cap goes up and up every year. It might go up $10 million next year. It might go up $5 million. We really don't know. But the more we wait, the more we're going to have to pay Wilkerson. You look at some other teams who've paid their guys early, and then in the long run, it doesn't look bad because the salary cap's going up and, good guys are getting what it seems like less money when really they're just signing them early. So maybe this year we can sign them for $13 million if we, extend them the offer now, when next year we might have to offer them $15 million.
Yeah, exactly. I think I was reading somewhere the cap's going up between 5 and 10%, if I'm correct. I believe it was something like that. I know that it always increases. The NFL made over $7 billion this past year, the most they ever made. Every team got over $100 million of that share. But, Muhammad Wilkerson is a clear-cut answer, in my opinion. Yes, Sheldon Richardson, rookie of the year. Yes, yeah. He was the Pro Bowler last year. Guy plays an all-pro type of level. But, you just can't – if you're trying to win, this Jets team hasn't won, obviously since 1969. We haven't experienced, what it feels like to win in forever. So, where to start is, guys like Muhammad Wilkerson. He's a guy, like I said, he's done everything right. The guy lives right here in New Jersey, lives, I believe, exit 136, MetLife Stadium is 156. It's right there. Every time I drive to school, I pass where he went to high school. So I know that exit right there. This guy had 10.5 sacks last year. The guy gets double teamed every play. The guy had that interception in Cincinnati. There's a lot. This guy does everything. He says all the right things, does all the right things off the field, has charity events, has his own camp. you know, gets every, and he gets, you know, my favorite part about it, he gets all of his teammates involved in it. Like you said, the guy's a team player. He's a guy who you want around. He's a leader, 25 years old, entering the prime of his career. You got to pay the man. You know, I mean, it's just, I mean, this guy could have held, you know, he could have held out. He could have not came to any of those, you know, those workouts, but he was there. He's there for the team. He's there, you know, and like he said in all the interviews, you know, he wants to be a Met. I mean, he wants to be a Jet. I got that right. The sad thing is, I'm not even watching the game, but it's just, they're just sickening. The guy, you know, he said he wants to be a Jet, and he's going to do whatever, you know, he's going to do what he needs to do. He's going to play out the last year of his contract if that it has to happen. He said it's a business, you know. I mean, it is, but I mean, the Jets have to know what is right here. You know, look at all the guys they paid this offseason. Look at all the defensive ends who just got signed this offseason. And Mo Wilkerson has to be saying to himself, what else do I have to do?
Yeah, no, you look at the defensive line. I think a guy like Damon Harrison should really stick around because he's the only true nose tackle we have who can really stuff those two gaps. I know a guy like Wilkerson, a guy like Sheldon, a guy like Leonard Williams can do it, but they're not going to be as good of run stuffers as a guy like Damon Snacks Harrison. I think he's a little bit underrated, but, you know, Vinny, we definitely learned that you're probably going to get a letter in the mail for a restraining order against Mo Wilkerson because you know that
Evans probably no That's
treat,
fine, baby. I'll
but,
take
no, it's okay.
Yeah.
I understand you're a diehard Jets fan, and you know, you follow Muhammad Wilkerson home. It's a little weird, but I still love you, so, you know, we're okay there. But, you know, they're going to have to choose. You know, you're not going to be able to sign four guys for three positions, so eventually they're going to have to choose. They can't sign Leonard Williams. You know, I'm looking in the future now. Obviously, they're all young, but you can't sign Wilkerson, Sheldon, Harrison, and all these guys when you have holes at offensive line. You're going to have holes at safety, possibly. You're going to have holes at covered linebacker. You're not going to be able to sign all these guys. But, Tom, is there anything else, you know, you want to get to before you get off, or are you good?
No, I'm good, guys.
All right, cool, Tom. We definitely appreciate the support. Call back in whenever you can, and thanks for following the show.
Yeah, of course. You guys have a great night. I'll see you guys later.
Later, Tom. See you next week, bud.
Later.
All right. So that was Tom. All right. So, Vinny, we're going to get back a little bit to the rookie projections. We're going to try to get a little bit off of, you know, Wilkerson because we know where that just went. You'll probably get a restraining order, like I said.
I'm fine with that.
It's okay. It'd be kind of cool to see his name, you know, Mama Wilkerson.
I just say
in the mail.
At least
he knows you're alive. At least he knows you're alive. But no, okay. We talked about Leonard Williams. We were a little bit different, you know, indifferent with the stats there. But now let's talk about Devin Smith. You know, what are your reasonable expectations? And if you had to put your finger on his stats, you know, what stats is that Devin Smith going to have after this 2015 season?
Yeah, I mean, that's, you know, it's a tricky stat. When I, you know, when I was looking back at his college stats, you know, 121 career catches, 30 career touchdowns. So that's one every four catches he gets a touchdown. Last year, I believe it was, 33 catches for over 900 yards. I mean, this guy, I mean, he's a burner, you know, and this is what the Jets offense needs. You know, Jeremy Crowley's that quick slot guy, doesn't have the speed that Devin Smith has. When you look at Brandon Marshall, you know, again, quickness, same with Decker, you know. They're crafty guys. You know, these guys have been here, you know, veterans, obviously. But Devin Smith is the burner. I really think this guy, I mean, I'm not going to say he's going to have the same amount of yards he had last year, but I think the 30 to 40 catch range is definitely reasonable for a guy like Devin Smith. A guy, you know, if I had a pencil in right now, a guy who can put up 35 catches, maybe between 500 and 600 yards, maybe 700 yards if he can get there. I think he's gonna have a
catch
range between 15 and, you know, 18 yards. I mean, hey, I know that's pushing it right now because, again, you know, this guy, I mean, like his scouting report coming in, his MO is the guy can run a go route. You know, he's gonna have to learn those other the other routes. But I mean, with this offense, you know, with guys like Brandon Marshall, with guys like Decker, I mean, the go route is gonna be all he needs some plays. You know, obviously the Decker and Marshall, they're going to command – one of them is going to command a double team. A guy like Brandon Marshall is still going to command a double team in this league. Even at 31 years old, I think he's still, a top 10, top 15 receiver in this league. And, you know, Eric Decker, the guy put up, you know, with, you know, virtually no supporting cast, over 900 yards last year, and the guy was banged up who knows how long. You know, he hurt that hamstring, and that's an injury that lingers on. So, I mean, a guy like Devin Smith, third, 30 to 40 catches, maybe five touchdowns. But what I'm really interested to see with Devin Smith is if he can, you know, add something to the kickoff or the punt return team. Because if he can do that, you know, who knows? This guy, you know, I think he's one of our fastest guys on our team. You know, that's something, you know, we really lacked last year. The punt return, we were towards the bottom of the league. I think we had like 6.3 yards per return. And, you know, that's something that, you know, the Jets need to improve on. A guy like Devin Smith, I think, can help.
No, I don't necessarily think that he's going to be on special teams just because you look at college, he's never returned a kick or a punt, maybe one or two. So I really don't think he'll be on special teams. I think you have guys who will be fighting it out for the fifth and sixth receiver spot, the guys like, you know, Owosu and T.J. Graham and whoever it may be who will be fighting out for that spot. He's never really, you know, been on special teams. Would it be nice to find a special teams returner, you know, no matter who it be? Maybe it's a guy like Chris Owosu who flashed in the Dolphins game, who really showed some ability. You know, it would be nice to not see Jeremy Curley fair catch every ball. So we'll see what happens. You know, honestly, Vinny, since Leon Washington left his team, where I believe he got hurt, what was it, against the Raiders that game, I believe he broke his leg. And ever since then, Mike Westhoff left, and then a whole bunch of different guys came in. Thomas McGahee came in last year, and it was terrible, some of the calls he had and some of the runouts in the back of the end zone he had. So hopefully with Bobby April, this special teams will actually be a little bit better, because this special teams was definitely bottom 10 to bottom 5 this year. I don't know the stats, but the special teams never put us in a good position to drive the ball up the field. But for Devin Smith, you know, The thing about getting 700 yards is there's only so many balls to go around. You're looking at a guy like Marshall, who we agree that he's a top 10 receiver. In my opinion, he is. A guy like Decker actually got rated, I believe, like 18. I forget what website it was by. And you can't go by websites, because, you know, some websites rate him 18, some will rate him 34. You go to CBS, and we'll talk about a little bit about CBS and, you know, Walter Footballs in a little bit with Gino. But you look at CBS, I believe they said today, I saw an article, like the Jets were lucky to win 4 games last year, and I almost threw up. So, you know, there's the websites. It depends who's writing it. It depends who has biases towards the Jets. It happens a lot where there's some websites where I won't even go on to and read articles, because you see that they're projecting the Jets to go, you know, 5-11 this year, when that's clearly a little bit of a shot in the dark. So, you know, who else are they, you know, really being unfair to other teams? So there's some websites that really, I'm not afraid to call them out. You know, CBS and WalterFootball.com are just terrible. If you want to go read somebody good about football, you know, go to Bleacher Report, find some of your guys who you like there. But some of those websites who clearly have biases, just don't go read them. But, you know, Devin Smith, you know, sorry for going off on a little tangent there, but there's only so many balls to go around. You're looking at Brandon Marshall, who you're expecting to have, around 30, let's just say, I'm giving out hypothetical numbers here, you know, let's 75 catches, 1,000 yards. Decker, let's say, 65 catches, 1,000 yards, whatever it may be. You know, then you have Jason Morrow. Then, obviously, the Jets aren't going to be strictly a passing team. If anything, I think they're going to run the ball a little bit more than they'll pass, because you have a guy in Geno, who is a little bit sporadic, who's inconsistent. There will be games where he'll throw 30 balls, but if the running game is productive and you have a guy like Ivory and a guy like Ridley and Stacy and Powell, whoever will be on this team, we don't know if we'll carry 4 running backs, but they definitely have an opportunity to be a very productive rushing attack, especially when you look at the receivers now. It helps out. You know, they're going to put a safety back now because of a guy like a Decker or a Smith, like you talked about, or like a Marshall. So they're not going to be playing 9 in the box like they were last year. So the running game will definitely, have an opportunity to open up a little bit. And then you got a guy like a Bouchy at right guard, who hopefully has a little bit more, he has a little bit more experience, and hopefully he plays a little bit better. And you look at a guy like James Carpenter, who was a decent signing. Everybody's, crapping on the signing a little bit, but then you looked at, what is he? He's 6'4", 300 and like 15 pounds. I forget what his exact measurables are then, but you have him in a zone blocking scheme where he's running around the field, and it's more, a zone blocking scheme is more about athleticism and being able to run around, while the Jets, I believe, are going to run a heads up, I want to block the guy in front of me kind of rushing attack. They're not going to do a zone. So I think a guy like James Carpenter actually could benefit a lot from switching from a zone scheme. But Devin Smith, if I had to put my finger on it, Vinny, I'm going to say he's not going to catch a ton of balls, because, like I said, there's not a ton of balls to go around. But I'm going to say 25 to 30 catches, 400 to 415 yards, which would put him at about a 15 yard per average, which I think he will have, because, you know, he's going to, like you said, he's a burner. He doesn't know a bunch of routes. We don't really know if he's good at running them yet, because he just didn't run them in college. He really doesn't have that experience. But he could easily adjust very well and play well and run those routes well. But I'm going to say, you know, like I said, 30 catches, 450 yards, and 5 touchdowns, if I had to put my finger on what Devin Smith would, you know, what his stats would look like. after the season. It'll be interesting to see who gets the most balls, or, you know, what kind of offense this Jets really, team really runs. Mm-hmm. Are they going to run the ball more? Are they going to pass the ball more? But now we're going to go on to our next rookie, Vinny, and that is one of our favorites, the beast, Lorenzo Maldon. What is he going to get?
Yeah, I mean, Lorenzo Maldon. I mean, this is something, I mean, I mean, you really can't, you know, put on numbers. I mean, obviously, I'm going to give you a number now, but with Calvin Pace,
exactly,
you know, and Jason, and with Jason Babin, I mean, who knows? I mean, it's really going to come down to who, you know, who makes his team. I mean, I don't think the Jets will cut a guy like Calvin Pace. I think Babin will. When that happens, I mean, I think Lorenzo Maldon is going to get a chance to play, you know, 50% of the snaps. I mean, if I had to put a number on it for the whole season, I'll say he plays, you know, between 50 and 70% of the snaps. I mean, it's a guy, you know, like I said, he had 10 sacks last year, 19th in the country in sacks at Louisville. I mean, obviously, I don't think he's going to put up 10 sacks. I think it's a guy who, you know, I think you can expect a 4 to 5 sack season, a guy with 60 tackles. I'm interested to see if he can add anything on the special teams, if he can add, you know, something along those lines on the special team, you know, downfield blocking, whatever it may be. Again, he's 6'4", over 250. He's very athletic, as we've seen. But, I mean, I think four to five sacks is reasonable for a guy like Lorenzo Maldon in his rookie campaign. I mean, maybe not five sacks, you know, maybe three and a half to four and a half sacks, somewhere along there. But a guy could put up 50 tackles. I mean, I would say between that, you know, 3.5 sacks, 50 tackles is reasonable for Lorenzo Maldon in his rookie year.
Well, there's a bunch of factors when you look into this, Vinny.
Is he gonna play?
Is Calvin Pace gonna hold down the fort for half the season? There's a possibility they can hold down the fort for, you know, the entire season. You don't know what Bowles thinks of Maldon. You don't know what he thinks of Pace, how he can use Pace. But I believe that Calvin Pace had like 40 tackles last year. So I don't think Maldon will necessarily have that much, because obviously he's a rookie. He wasn't a first round pick for obvious. There's reasons why, with his athleticism, with him reading a defense, little things like that. So if I had to put my finger on it, I'm gonna say, you know, 30. I wouldn't say 30 tackles, 2.5 sacks, and like 4 to 5 tackles for loss, because he's going to have to adjust. He's a third round pick. Is he going to play more than Babin? Is a guy like IK going to be in there during pass rushing situations? Who I actually think is a little bit underrated. You know, a lot of people are doing the 53-man roster predictions on these stupid websites. You know, I'm bored. I'm at work. I'm looking these things up because, you know, I have nothing better to do. Sometimes I'm sitting there for hours. And a lot of people are leaving IK off the roster. I think it's a little bit ridiculous. You look at some of the things he flashed last year on film. I think he'll definitely be on the team. And I think he's going to have not a prominent role on third down and as a rushing specialist. But I definitely think, you know, that he's going to have his spells where he is going to get in the game. But Maldon, you know, like I said, is he going to start half the season? Is he going to play only 4 games starting? How much is he going to be in there? And you look at Todd Bowles and his defenses with the Cardinals. He likes to play a lot of DBs. He likes to play a lot of defensive linemen, and he didn't play a lot of linebackers. So the linebackers aren't going to play as much as, you know, they did with Rex Ryan, where they're on the field all the time. Instead, you'll see guys like a Marcus Williams or Darren Walls more, or you'll see guys like a Duzable or like a Vickerson or whoever they decide to keep. You're going to see those depth players more than you'll see depth players on linebacker, because they don't, like I said, he doesn't, you know, lean on linebackers as much as other coaches and other defenses do. But honestly, other than that, Vinny, you know, we're not going to predict, unless you think that a guy like Jarvis Harrison's going to start. I don't think either of us think he'll actually be playing or seeing a snap for the Jets this year. At least as a starter, maybe comes in for a couple plays because somebody gets injured, maybe, possibly. Bryce Petty, if he comes in, we're not going to do his projections, because if he comes in, you can basically throw the season out, and we wasted another $700 on season tickets, which I'm definitely happy that we're going to get those done. We actually have our season tickets in our hands soon. But, you know, and then obviously, is Deion Simon really, is he going to make the team? You know, how much would he play? It's really, I don't want to do a seventh rounder's, you know, stat projection. So, you know, that's it for stat projections. But, you know, you were talking a little bit before about the Geno and how he was ranked this year and, you know, things like that. So tell me a little bit about where he was ranked. And then honestly, we've been saying we're going to get to this for a couple of weeks. You know, what is his leash? How many games do you give Geno Smith? You know, if he's playing at a poor level, do you give him 2 games? Do you give him 4 games? Do you give him 6 games? Do you give him time to adjust because he's in a different offense under you know, Chan Gailey and with these new weapons? Or do you just pull him after those 4 games and then make a guy like a Ryan Fitzpatrick start after the bye week? You know, what are his stats? What do his stats have to look like? And what do you think his stats have to look like after this season? for them to be comfortable and for Jets fans to be comfortable with him going into the season next year as our starter. But obviously there's so many factors that go into this, Vinny. Is a Byron Jones there for us when we pick? Do we have to trade up? Where are the Jets going to finish? You know, who's going to fall in the first round? Does Geno get injured? There's so many things that play into this, Vinny. But right now there's not a lot to talk about. So we can basically do whatever we want because it's our show. Tell me, what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, Geno Smith, drafting out of college, this guy, college, 98 touchdowns, 21 picks, over 150 quarterback rating. I mean, while his time here with the Jets, hasn't been, obviously the best, I don't think, like you said, he should be ranked 32nd. You know, ESPN came out their list as they do every year, and they ranked him last, as a qualified starter, the worst starter in the NFL. Yes, the guy in his career has thrown 25 touchdowns, 34 picks, countless, mental mistakes and fumbles. But, I really don't think this guy is, deserving of that last spot. He showed times where he looked like he had no idea what he was doing, like that Bills game, first three possessions, throwing a pick in a game where the Jets needed to win, where they actually, had a chance to, fight their way back into the playoff push, and we were there. We got, the game early. I don't want to talk about that game too much. That was a
I'm sorry to interrupt you. You're gonna be able to keep talking. You're gonna be able to keep talking after this, Vinny. I know, for the butt fumble game, we were there. We had a little bit to drink, it was Thanksgiving, we were having a good time, so we weren't too mad because we were having a fun time. I think that Buffalo game last year when Geno threw three picks was probably the maddest you ever seen me, to the point where, I had to get a little talk from some people who were on the balcony, waiting, and they look into the crowd. I had some people come up and talk to me because I was yelling a little bit too much and screaming some things I shouldn't have been saying. So, that Buffalo game was absolutely terrible. I think that's the only game we've actually left early, but keep going.
Yeah, that was the game. Yeah, that was the ugliest game I've ever seen. And you got out of the hand pretty quick. As most Jets fans, myself included. I didn't have a choice of words. You did, but hey, Geno Smith. If you're Geno Smith, and you're real, say you're Geno Smith before the draft. Before we got Brandon Marshall, we get Brandon Marshall for you. Geno Smith, you have to be ecstatic, just alone in that. Then you add a guy like a Devin Smith. You have a position, all the receivers, a slot guy, a deep guy, a route guy in Decker. Now another guy who can do it all, jack of all trades in Brandon Marshall. The guy can go deep. He's freakishly athletic. He's taller than, every corner that's going to be guarding him. This guy, what else more can you want if you're Geno Smith entering your third year? And the guy coming in, this is, I believe, his third offensive coordinator. So, obviously he hasn't had it all made out for him. But this is the offseason where Geno Smith has to step up. This is his last straw, obviously. Adding all the guys that, I just said, and you forgot about Jason Morrow, forgot about Jeff Crumlin, and all the running backs that we got. So, the one name, like you said before, who I'm really intrigued about is James Carpenter. Because I'm not really worried about Geno Smith too much. Obviously – 25 touchdowns, 34 picks.
You're not worried about Geno Smith too much?
If this line can't guard him, it doesn't matter who's playing quarterback. You're not, look at all the teams who win. It's their offensive lines and defensive lines that win them. Yes, it's their quarterback. Obviously, Geno Smith can't be the 32nd guy, can't have a quarterback, a QBR in the 30s like he has his first 2 years in the NFL. But Geno Smith, I really think this is the year where you just got to be adequate. You just got to be decent. You just got to be top 20.
Yeah.
You got to be Derek Carr of last year. Let's be realistic here. You've got to be a guy who is going to, just have a 2-to-1 ratio, turnover ratio. Geno Smith, a guy who has done this in college. We're going back to that spread offense. So, hopefully that, can just, reminisce a little bit of what Geno did in college. But it's a guy, like you said, I don't really like talking stats too much when it comes to Geno Smith because, they haven't been pretty early on in his career. But this guy, 25 touchdowns, 12 to 18 interceptions. Guy who has 5 to 7 more touchdowns, 5 to 10 more touchdowns than interceptions. Yeah. This guy, has, all the athletic traits you look for in a quarterback. He can run, he can scramble, he can throw on the run, he can throw in the pocket. The thing he has to work on, obviously, the most is you know, looking off that first read, glancing to that second, to that third, to the fourth. And, yeah, I mean, everyone wants to talk about his last four games in West in his first 2 years of his career. I mean, those games haven't, you know, meant anything. I want to see what he can do week, middle of the season when the games matter. You know, like that Buffalo game. I mean, I want to go back to the Buffalo game. You know, that game, you know, Jets had a chance. If they'd won that game, I believe they would have been, you know, two games out or a game out of the wild card. They would have been, you know, had a chance to go, to build some momentum in the season. But, no, Geno Smith goes out, throws three picks. And Michael Vick comes in, you know, Michael Vick, that whole saga, thank God that's over. But, I mean, when you look at, you know, Geno Joe, I mean, I think this guy, you know, he has to be a top 15 to 20 quarterback. I mean, if you can't be a top, 15 to 20 quarterback with this offense, I mean, that's just, I mean, to be honest, that's hard to do if you're an NFL quarterback. We know what we're going to get out of Ryan Fitzpatrick. The guy is mediocre. I mean, if Geno Smith can be mediocre, can be average, can have some games where he's going to help win the team, you know, help win this team games. That's what he's going to have to do. I mean, his defense is good enough to be, again, like we said before, top three team. But, I mean, Joe, I mean, what do you think? Do you think this guy can really be, Zach said before, top five offense? I mean, I don't really think that anyone does. I think this guy can be a top 15 quarterback.
Well, top 15, you know, who is in the top 15? Let's, you know, top 10, you can think of guys like Rivers and Ben Roethlisberger and Russell Wilson. Who would be in 15? Of 20 range? I know the 20 range would probably be like a Kaepernick and Alex Smith and Andy Dalton. Like we said, if he can be an Alex Smith and he can be at that 20 range where he's around an Alex Smith. And like you said, we both don't expect him to get a 2-to-1 touchdown ratio, because if he gets, you know, 24 touchdowns and 12 picks, you know, he's definitely going to probably be the starter next year. When you look at like 3,000 yards, 3,500, yards, he'll definitely be the starter. But I'm expecting more, you know, of a solid season for him to possibly be the starter next year. You know, you're looking at 24 touchdowns, maybe 17 picks, 16 picks. And obviously, it's like you said, it's hard to project the stats, but it's more about how he plays. Is he going to take, you know, 10 to 15 yard sacks to get us out of, you know, field goal range? Is he going to tuck the ball and run when he has to, which he should have done more last year? We saw it a lot in his rookie year where he actually tucked the ball and run, but for some reason last year it looked like he was afraid to run the ball. So is he going to tuck and run it? Is he going to throw it out of bounds when he has to? Is he going to try to force it into the triple coverage? Is he going to try to just throw the ball up? Which sometimes he's going to be able to throw the ball up. Obviously, if you see a guy like a Brett Grimes, who Decker did burn last year, but if you see a guy like a Grimes on a Brandon Marshall, yeah, is it smart to throw it up? Probably. But if it's Earl Thomas and Sherman and, you know, and Jason Moss tomorrow is covered by both of them, are you going to throw the ball? No, you throw it out of bounds. Or, you know, try to run for 2 yards, try to run for 3 yards. You have to realize that every single play doesn't have to be a touchdown. You can take a 2 to 3 to 4 yard gain, and the next play, maybe you break out for 10 yards. You know, we have the weapons. You have a guy in Decker who's a really crisp route runner. You have a Devin Smith who's a burner. You have Brandon Marshall who's one of the best, at least a top five, you know, wide receiver in running after the catch, so you can get him the ball in space, and Brandon Marshall will stiff arm your face into the ground and step over you. You know, it's how he is. He's basically a linebacker playing wide receiver, so he has the weapons. He has to be, you know, in that not Kaepernick. I don't really like Kaepernick at all. So, you know, I'll compare him to, you know, can he be at Alex Smith and just be a game manager? That's all we need, Vinny. If, you know, if Rex Ryan was a competent coach and Mark Sanchez could have been a game manager in that Steelers AFC Championship game, we probably could have won and went to the Super Bowl that year. So if he can be top 20, like you said, I don't really expect top 15, because then you're getting into the, let's think, who'd be a top 15?
Who's like a 15? The Joe Flacco's.
Joe Flacco range. I don't think he's going to be up there. He doesn't have that type of arm. He doesn't have that type of talent. But an Alex Smith and Andy Dalton, if we had that quarterback on this team, they would definitely thrive. I know that Dalton has AJ Green, but then who does he have other than that? I know he's Jeremy Hill, but then he has like Muhammad Sanu or something like that. But can you imagine, you know, I have a Packers fan who I have a friend at work, and we were talking about if Aaron Rodgers was on this Jets team, what they'd be able to do for a year. You know, I would almost guarantee a Super Bowl with these, some of these weapons. I know he has Randall Cobb and things like that, but he does not have this defense. So, like I said, like we've been talking about, there's not a lot of pressure on him to produce a whole bunch of touchdowns. He's not going to have to score 30 points a game. Like I've been saying, I'm going to be saying it until training camp. I'm going to be saying it through preseason. I'm going to be saying it through the year probably, that he doesn't need to score all these points. There's going to be games where he only has to score 10, 13 points or you know, just put this offense in a position to score field goals. You know, there was times last year where we were at our own 20-yard line and we'd turn the ball over, Ryan Quigley would have a 20-yard punt and then it would go out of bounds and they'd already almost be in field goal range. So
even if he doesn't score a lot, I want to see him move the ball up the field. You know, maybe Quigley can pin them deep and they start out of their own 10 or 20 yard line. They're not going to score as many points. So he doesn't have to do a lot, but just in the red zone on third and shorts, he's going to have to produce. You know, like it's hard to put a stat on it. But you know, we'll get back to Geno and another time, Vinny, unless you have something else to say about Geno. But real quick, I just want to talk about the ranking. You know, 32, I think, is a little bit low for him, just because, you know, I think about it and you look at, let's think, Bills. I'm going to have Cass.
Yeah, I mean, AJ Manuel. I mean, come on here.
Bills. So they could be worse. You look at Texans, who have either Hoyer or Mallett. I think he's better than both of those guys. Browns with McCown. Jags with Bortles, who really, I watched him at the Jags game last year, and he was really unimpressive. I don't know if other people are him than I am. But Bortles did not impress me at all, so I'd put him above a guy like Bortles last year. Just look at his stats, and if you really want to go and look at some of his film, watch some of his film. He made really, really, really poor decisions sometimes. You can't put Mariota or Winston higher than him because they haven't played a snap. You have no idea how they'll be, so you put them below him. And then, you know, you said a guy like Carr, I think he's slightly overrated because you look at his yards per attempt. Most of his throws were screen passes and things like that, and short little, you know, hooks and slants. So I think his average per throw was like 4 yards, something like that. So I think him and Carr are right around the same range, maybe as, you know, like the 25th or 26th quarterback right now in the league. I do. You know, is that a huge difference from 32? I don't, but, you know, I think he's around the 26, 25 range, and that's just exactly the reason why you don't go to CBS Football or you don't go to WalterFootball.com, because, you know, I'm sorry to call them out, but they are just idiots. I don't know if listeners have family who writes for them, but, you know, get them to either switch whoever they're writing for or to just know what they're talking about, because I read some of those articles and I just laugh. So, you know, enough about crapping on CBS and Walter Football, just like I do with Manish and Samini. You know, I can just throw out names all day. It doesn't really matter. But, you know, let's talk now about, give me some, you know, we were talking about bold predictions. Zach was predicting a top five offense, which, like I said, you could drag me through a mile of broken glass for that to happen. I would let you. But bold predictions. Give me a very bold prediction. I don't want to hear Brandon Marshall's going to have 1,000 yards because that's not bold.
Yeah,
that's not what I want to hear. That's very reasonable. Give me a bold prediction for offense, Vinny.
Bold prediction for offense.
Yep.
Bold prediction for offense. I'm going, this one is going to be bold. I'm saying Jason Morrow is going to have 10 touchdowns this year on the receiving end. I think this guy can really.
Okay, all right, man.
I'm feeling Jason Morrow is going to have 10 touchdowns. Hey, this team, you know, we have struggled so mightily in that red zone, you know, last year. I mean, adding a guy like I think Brandon Marshall also is going to have 10 touchdowns. But, I mean, this guy, Jason Morrow, I think he's going to have his one-on-one coverages in the red zone. I think at times they're going to double, even triple team guys like Brandon Marshall in the red zone, giving a guy like Jason Morrow one-on-one coverage. He's going to have a, you know, ample opportunity to have one-on-one coverage this whole year. Jason Morrow is. I think this guy's going to have a breakout season, a breakout numbers-wise. I think 50 catches. I mean, he had 35 last year. His rookie 38, whatever it was. But again, like we said, when he played like 34, what is it, 35% of the snaps? If that, you know, that improves, say that doubles. Say that just goes to 60%, 70%. I mean, that right there in itself can double in catches. You know, just say 50 catches. But I really think this guy can have a season where he can have 9, 10, you know, touchdown grabs in the red zone. You know, we see what he done in college, 100 catches, you know, double the touchdowns. I mean, this guy, hey, he had some ups and downs as a rookie. Again, 38 catches. I think it was 35, 38, whatever it was. Still a lot of catches for a rookie, you know, more than Jeff Cumberland, Randy's boy. I hope he's listening, Jeff Cumberland. I think Jeff Cumberland's got a nice too, but Jason Morrow, I'm really, really pumped up for him this season. I know he's battling that back issue, but if he gets that a lot situated, I think this guy's going to put up 10 touchdowns, Joey Boy.
Yeah, no, is that Randy? Yeah, Randy called in last week about, Jeff Cumberland. I actually, you know, I crapped on him a little bit with the Twitter. I told him that if I knew that it was him who called in, I actually wouldn't have followed him with the Jet Nation account. So, Randy, we definitely appreciate the call last week. I know he actually tweeted that he's listening to us. So shout out to Randy out there. But, you know, no, like I said before, I don't know how many balls there are to go around. I don't know necessarily when you have a guy like a Curley, like a Decker, like a Marshall in the red zone. I don't necessarily know. And then Ivory, obviously, which the Jets were afraid to run him in the red zone last year. But I don't necessarily think he'll, you know, get 9 to 10 touchdowns. But then again, that's why it's a bold prediction. If it happens, you're the first person who can come here and, you know, and, you know, make fun of me. So maybe around, you know, five, maybe. But like you said, he played 34% of the snaps last year. If he plays 70% of the snaps last year, you can maybe possibly double his production, which isn't a, you know, it's a fair point. If you double his time, double his production, he has more weapons on the outside to take attention off of him. It's his second year in a spread offense. He's not going to be an in-line tight end like they try to make him last year, where he was blocking guys like Cameron Wake, which made absolutely no sense. That's where a guy like a Kellen Davis is going to come in and play, who's almost like an extra tackle, like I've said before. So a guy like Jason Mara, who will be, you know, lined up as the H-back, almost like a slot receiver, Jimmy Graham type of guy, where he's more of a receiver than he's a tight end. He definitely has a chance to thrive. So, you know, 10 touchdowns would be nice. Do I expect it? Not really. But, you know, my bold prediction for the offense right now, I'm going to say, you know, I'm not going to try to be too bold. I'll try to be a little bit realistic. But what was the last time the Jets had a 1,000 receiver, Vinny? I believe it was 2007 with Jericho Cotchery. So I'm going to say that this year under Chan Gailey, the Jets have two 1,000-yard receivers. I'm going to say that obviously it's Decker and Marshall. You know, you have a guy in Decker who was hurt a lot last year with his hamstrings. He's going to come in next to a guy like a Brandon Marshall, and hopefully he's going to get a lot of balls, getting a lot of attention off of his side. Then you look at a guy like a Brandon Marshall, who seven seasons in a row, he had over 1,000 yards. Obviously, you know, everybody says, oh, he had Cutler. Cutler's better. But then you look at his days in Miami. Who did he have in Miami? Who did he have, you know, what, Kyle Orton in Denver? So he didn't have receivers before he's produced. So I think the Jets are going to have two 1,000-yard receivers. I think they'll take pressure off each other. I think this offense will be, you know, split down the middle, where they're going to run and pass it just as much as each other. So I think they'll really produce. Do I think, you know, if I had to bet all my money on it, will it happen? No, but I'm being bold. So, you know, 2,000-yard receivers is what I'll say, Vinny, for that. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I like that a lot. Hey, I know, J. Coe, your boy, I love J. Coe as well. I mean, the guy was the man.
Before anybody clicks off this show and doesn't follow us anymore because you just said J. Coe is my boy, I don't know, like I said, what Vinny is smoking over there, but J. Coe is not my boy, but keep going.
Jared Cotcher is the man. But anyways.
Oh, Jay Coe. I thought you said Jay Cutler. Okay, yeah, Jay Coe is my boy. You were right.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what you're on over there in Atlanta Collins. You need to, you know, you need to settle down, all right? But, anyways, you know what I mean?
Deal?
Yeah, Highlands, my bad. But you know, I mean, Geno Smith, you know, he had, going back to college, you know, he had guys like Stephen Bailey, had guys like Tavon Austin, who had, you know, during the bowl season, had 1,000-yard receivers, you know, when he was a quarterback. He's used to that in college, obviously, coming to the Jets his first year. I mean, the receivers were poor. I mean, the last one to come, you know, actually close, I think it was Braylon Edwards, came close in 2010. But I know in Decker last year, you know, obviously he came up less than 40 yards away. I mean, I like that. You know, I mean, I think it's definitely reasonable. I mean, like you said, like I just said there, I mean, Eric Decker, you know, came close to it with no help virtually. And, you know, adding a guy like Brandon Marshall is only going to help. Obviously, this guy's, you know, perennial all-pro, perennial, you know, Pro Bowl type of receiver. You know, if he can put up, you know, 65 to 75 catches, he should get 1,000 yards. Decker, I mean, Decker's going to be a stretch. I think he had, over 70, I want to say, catches-wise last year. But, I mean, again,
yeah,
I mean, this guy, you know, he was getting double coverage and put up those numbers. So, I mean, and we're forgetting about a guy, Jeremy Curley, who can, you know, if he can add 40 catches, you know, 30 to 40 catches, I mean, that's a lot of balls, though. I mean, to have, a you know, 2,000-yard receivers, that's going to take a good quarterback. That's not going to take a 32nd-ranked quarterback to do. That's going to take a top 20 quarterback to do, a top 15 and top 20.
That's what we've been talking about, man.
Yeah,
Gino,
I mean,
top 20 quarterback. We'll see.
Yeah, and you just don't see 2,000-yard receivers that often in the NFL. Yeah. That, you know, there's just so many things that go on. You know, with pass catching running backs coming into their own, you know, into their prime in this day's this day's football. You know, I mean, we don't have one. Bilal Powell. You know what? You know what? How many catches do you really expect from Bilal Powell? 15, 20 catches this year.
No, I know.
You know, I mean, that's pushing it, in my opinion. You know, I mean,
the topic was bold, and I was being bold, my friend.
That boldness is taking boldness into a whole new level. I love it, though. I love it, Joe.
Hold on. Pump your brakes. Before you're telling me that Molden, you know, Leonard Williams get 9 sacks, and, you know, all Jason Morrow 10 touchdowns. I'm being bold here. Okay.
Yeah,
so now we're going to go to defense. go to defense, Vinny. What is your, you know, it doesn't have to be a player. It could be the overall defense. It could be, you know, a player. It could be a position group. You know, tell me, give me a bold prediction for this defense.
Bold prediction for the defense. You know, hey, I'm going bold here, you know, just because, you know, you grinded my gears a little bit when you said that Damon Sachs can't really get to the quarterback that good.
Oh.
And, you know, and to the part, you know, he's a big boy. You know, he's 350 pounds, like
yes.
you said. But, you know, coming into the season, I don't think, you know, coming into any season where Damon Sachs is a starter, I don't think people are going to expect any more than 2 sacks. As I'm looking at the picture of Damon Sachs sacking Tom Brady 2 years ago. But I think Damon Harrison is going to have 5 sacks this year. 5 sacks for the big fella.
I mean,
number isn't that big, but for a guy like Damon Harrison, that 5 sacks, you know, is like 10 for that type of guy, because that's only going to mean that other players around him are going to have more sacks. But I'm saying Damon Harrison, 5 sacks, tackle for loss. I mean, he is a run stuffing beast. I'm saying he's going to get close to double digit in the tackles for loss, maybe 11 if he can get there.
Okay.
But I'll say, you know, between eight and 11, I think it's reasonable. Even if he doesn't have 5 sacks, you know, even if he only has 2 sacks, but I'm being bold. I'm saying Damon Harrison is going to have a big year, 5 sacks. And, you know, it's going to be sad because this may be his last season as a Jet. Who knows what's going to happen to him? You know, he's coming into the season on a second-round tender his last year, you know, potentially with the Jets. Who knows what's going to happen? But this guy, you know, he's gonna earn a big payday after this season, whether it be the Jets, whether it be for someone else. But I'm saying 5 sacks for the big fella.
No, there's definitely a good point. You know, that he's been coming out the whole entire last couple of weeks, at least, and saying that he's, you know, not been used like he wanted to under Rex Ryan, that he was a two-gap kind of guy where he would really only be a run stuffer. And he said under Todd Bowles, he's really going to have the opportunity, like an Aaron Donald or like a Ndamukong Suh, who plays a defensive tackle position, who can actually go and rush the passer. So does he have an opportunity to get 5? Yeah, he definitely does if he can attack, and Todd Bowles actually lets him do that. Looking at guys like Leonard Williams, Copels, you know, Sheldon and Wilkerson on the edges of him, he'll have some one-on-ones where he could, you know, eat guys alive. He's 350 pounds, so he has an opportunity to do it. So, you know, I don't think that's actually too unreasonable.
Yeah.
I think that can actually happen, especially what he's been saying recently. You know, well, first of all, you have to look at, too, that Bowles blitzes more than anybody in the entire league. I believe it's like 49% of the time he blitzes or something like that. And to have a guy like Snacks running up the field, I think he does have an opportunity to get 5 snacks. And, you know, I'm going to say mine, and I know there's going to be people who are going to get on me. And obviously we're trying to be bold here. It's, you know, it's July 20th or 21st, whatever it is. There's not too much to talk about, so we're being very bold here. And I know people are going to get after me, but it's whatever. I'm going to say that because Todd Bowles blitzes more than any coach in the entire NFL, because with the weapons we have in the on the defensive side of the ball, and the fact that the offense probably isn't going to produce much, it's probably going to be, you know, a little bit of a bottom-tier offense, that the defense will have a lot of chances to get these. I'm going to say that the team who was, we were 6th in sacks last year. With these weapons, with Revis and Leonard Williams, I'm saying that the Jets are going to lead the league in sacks. What do you think about that?
Sacks. So we had 45 sacks last year. What do you think we have this year?
Well, you look at Leonard Williams.
Everything that we have.
You're looking at Calvin Pryor blitzing more, actually playing strong safety. I'm gonna say 57 sacks. I'm gonna say 12 more than we had last year, which is an average of, you know, about 0.7 more games. So every other game we're gonna have to get, you know, one more sack than we did, which I don't think is too unreasonable.
Yeah.
When you look at guys like, you know, Sheldon in his next year, Damon Harrison rushing more, a guy like Leonard Williams who, you know, a lot of people said was the best player in the draft. You know, was he? Potentially not. He can turn into a Vernon Golston.
Uh-huh.
You know, I don't want to say those words on a Jet show, but he could be a Vernon Golston. So we don't know. But you're looking at attacking defense with this secondary and with this defensive line on paper. You know, this team could lead the league in sacks. So I'm being bold here, Vinny.
Yeah, I mean, so I think the Bills had, I think it was 54 or 55 sacks. So you put them in at 57.
There you go.
Yeah, so, I mean, I like that. I mean, and you got to factor in, you know, I mean, how many coverage sacks do you think this team can have with you know, with the Cromartie, you know, with the Cromartie, with the Revis, you know, with every, you know, everything they can have, you know. I think there's going to be a lot of coverage sacks. You know, I mean, yeah, I think that's not too big of a stretch there. 57 sacks,
yep.
You know, with, know, with everything that the Jets added, I mean, it's going to be, I think they can get up to, you know, around 60, especially if Sheldon Richardson comes back and, you know, if he's the Sheldon Richardson that we're used to. I mean, that you got to factor that, you know, that's going to be huge. If he comes in, you know, out of shape, because I don't think he can be around the team for those first 4 weeks, or at least not at the games. I'm not really sure what the deal is with practice. I would assume he can't practice with the team if he's suspended, but, you know, I mean,
no,
he can practice with the team. All right.
Yeah.
So, I mean,
he can practice and play preseason. So, yeah.
All right. Yeah. I mean, if he comes in, you know, doesn't mean miss a beat. You know, obviously, game speed is a much different than in practice. But I like that. You know, I like that. I mean, that would put, you know, Leonard Williams with a guy, you know, around 7.5 sacks. Just saying. You know, how you doing?
Hey, how you doing? No, this is a perfect segue because now we have our good friend Mike, who's going to come on, and he actually wants to talk about the defense. I believe this is Mike X, so he's a Giants fan, so Jets fans, be ready for him to be, you know, slightly biased or whatever he's going to be. But what's up, Mike? How you doing, man?
Hey, what's going on, guys? How you guys doing?
What's up, bud?
Doing great. What's up,
all
man?
Right, I mean, I like the direction we're going in tonight with the bold predictions. I like everything bold. I like that. But let me play a little devil's advocate and be bold on the other side of the spectrum.
Oh, God.
What do you got, bud?
Let me just take into account this Jets defense right here. You know, the front seven, bar none, one of the best bar seven front sevens. That obviously losing Sheldon's going to hurt for four games. Does that throw in a little, you know, wrench in the batch and see if you know, there's a little bit of a mischemistry or miscommunication on the defensive side of the ball? What I really would like to see now with both cornerbacks over the age of 30 years old, maybe one of the few teams with two starting cornerbacks over the age of 30. How do these guys keep up? If they're going to be, you know, the top two guys in the league, or, you know, projection saying these guys are going to be the top tier of the league, they're over 30 years old. How are these knees going to hold up? How are the bodies going to hold up? Because as far as the Jets defense go, you know, the front seven can be great, but if they're getting passed all over, I think it could be a long season for the Jets. These guys, you know, start going into a little old mode.
Yeah, hey, you make some good points there, bud. I mean, like you said, last time we saw Cromartie in a Jets uniform, he was playing with a half a hip. Last time we saw Revis in a Jets uniform, he was down on the field in Miami, you know, with that torn ACL. You know, obviously, we've seen, you know, what Revis and Cromartie have done in the past few years. I mean, if an injury goes down, that's why this team has, you know, five cornerbacks. I mean, hey, they're all, you know, Todd Bowles relies on his corners just as Rex Ryan did. I mean, man, when you look at all these cornerbacks, they all have had injuries in their career, really, with the exception of Buster Skrine, because you look at Dexter McDougal and D. Milner coming off injuries, you know, season-ending injuries. You make some good points there, Eck. I mean, you know, the top seven can only be as good, you know, like we had last year, the Jets, 45 sacks, 6 in the NFL, but they're secondary going out there with, you know, with practice squad players. If, you know, if Revis and Cromartie, you know, if one of them go down, this team is going to be in trouble. I mean, then you're going to have to rely on a guy like a D. Milner, who, I mean, who, and quite frankly, in my opinion, you should rely on. This guy was the 9th pick in the draft. This guy, you know, has all the tools, still under 25 years old. I think he's 24 years old. I mean, coming off a big injury to the Achilles, that's going to be huge. But, I mean, with this front seven, I think if Revis and, you know, if Revis, just say Cromartie goes down. I mean, still with Revis, you know, when you look back to this 2009-2010 team, Revis was there with guys like a Dexter Strickland, with guys like Lito Shepard. I mean, you know, with guys like that, I mean, who the Jets have on this roster, like Marcus Williams and Darren Walls. So, I mean, obviously health is, you know, key to every team. But, I mean, if Revis or Cromartie goes down, one of the, you know, the Jets are going to be in trouble, put it that way.
Absolutely. Yeah, no, I think if the guy, obviously if a Revis goes down, it's going to be really hard to replace him. And then, like X said, you know, Cromartie, 2013, he looks like a complete bum. He's getting beat all the time. But then 2014, you know, I believe he had two touchdowns against him, and that was against Demaryius Thomas, who is one of the best receivers in the NFL. So I definitely have a bigger concern with a guy like Cromartie if his hip flares up. Obviously, he's a guy who really relies on his athleticism. He's not a technical sound guy like Revis. But, you know, Revis, I'm not too worried about. If you – obviously, ACLs used to be a big deal, but now it's more of like a sprained ankle in the NFL. ACLs aren't a big deal. Oof. But I don't know if you watch top 100 players of 2015 or 2014, Eck, but there's actually a stat that came out about Revis, and it was Keenan Allen, Calvin Johnson, A.J. Green, T.Y. Hilton, Watkins, Brandon Marshall, Nelson, and Demaryius Thomas averaged less than 50 yards and only one touchdown overall on Revis. And then Revis in the playoffs, only three catches allowed and 24 yards. So I'm not worried about Revis, but am I worried about a guy like Cromartie with his hip flaring up? I definitely am. And, you know, Jets fans are all assuming the worst. They're not assuming injuries. But then even if a guy like a Cromartie goes down, you have a guy in Marcus Williams who is our sixth cornerback this year, who was our number one last year. So I'm not terribly worried about the secondary. And like Vinny said, there's practice squad players, Phillip Adams, you know, guys I've never even heard of playing as our number one and number two last year. So I think this defense definitely, I'm not saying they're going to be number one, but if they're below the top five with all the money they've allocated to this defense, I think it'll be definitely a disappointment. But we all know you're a Giants fan. You know, you're probably, you know, gritting your teeth to talk a little bit about the Giants. I know you're not a big Jets guy. You know, you're a little jealous right now. Tell me, what are your predictions for the Giants? You know, we're diverse here. We'll talk a little bit about the Giants because you're a Giants fan. So, you know, give me your expectations. You're more of an expert on the Giants than I am. So, you know, what is the Giants record this year? You know, what do you think overall about the team, about Eli, about, you know, Victor Cruz? You know, what are your predictions for the Giants this year?
I think, you know, being a fan first, I can see us, you know, knocking off about 11 wins. Realistically, I think we're more in the running for a 9-10 win season. You know, being very competitive in the NFC East, get a wild card spot, maybe compete in the East. It's all going to determine whether or not Victor Cruz can step back up, fill in a role, and play, you know, a big role in creating space for Beckham. Beckham's proved that he can, you know, run with the best corners in the league. So, you know, it's time to give him a little help, maybe take a little pressure off of Eli so he can start slinging the rock again instead of you know, throwing it about 5 yards down the field and hoping for the best. So,
yeah,
you know,
I think
if all the pieces fall into place, a couple new additions on the offense, I think that our offense, you know, our offensive power might outweigh our defense struggles this year. We might still be able to get into that playoff spot.
Yeah, I mean,
oh, yeah,
you
no,
think...
Go ahead, Ben, boy.
Good. I was an ass, Eki boy. Do you think, I know a lot of talks on this Eli Manning... there's a lot of talk about Eli Manning contract extension. The guy's 32, 33 years old. Do you give this guy a 5-year, $100 million contract? Do you give him, you know, what is your thoughts on signing a guy like Eli Manning, who obviously has won you guys two Super Bowls, you know, has done everything, you know, everything for this franchise while he's been here. What do you think? Do you want him? Do you want him back for, you know, to the end of his career? Do you want to see the Giants move in a new direction? What's your thought on that?
I mean, I would say that, you know, looking back at Eli's career, you know, anyone can take a look at the stats and say that he's been an average quarterback his whole career, and I'm okay with that because at the end of the day, you know, those runs in the playoffs and those two Super Bowl runs, I mean, that's more enough, you know, more than enough for me. But you know what? Yeah. 5 years, 4 years, if we can lock him up, you know, so he can be a Giant for his career, I think that you know, Tom Coughlin's got a 2-3 year plan in place that I think that we have one more shot at winning a Super Bowl with Eli under center. I think that will really do something great for his, you know, for his resume of career. Maybe the haters might back off a step or two. And even though he's maybe a little bit above average quarterback, he'll have three rings in his pocket.
Yeah, I mean,
yeah,
hey,
no, definitely. I think me and Vinny sitting over here as Jets fans would take two rings in our pocket any day of the week. You know, you've got to sniff the
AFC. Before I die, I take that.
I feel your pain.
I'll take the two, you know, Super Bowl. The two Super Bowl rings, but, you know, Odell Beckham obviously is a very, very good receiver. Obviously, you know, when he plays the Jets, he's probably most likely going to get shut down. And I'm sorry to tell you that. You know, it's unfortunate.
We'll
you know,
see,
I love
we'll
know
see,
he's good, but, you know, top corner league. No, I'm kidding. Definitely thank you for calling in. We definitely appreciate the support, and hopefully we'll talk to you again soon, man.
Yeah, definitely, guys. Thanks for the input, and good luck. Have a good one, all right?
All right, see you tomorrow, bro.
Bye-bye.
All right, so we're talking. See, we're so diverse here. You know, we're getting bold predictions. We're talking to Tom. We're talking, you know, Geno being a top 10 quarterback here. No, Vinny, it's definitely been a great show. You know, we got to talk about just about everything. You know, Geno, obviously, we're talking about Geno. We're talking bold predictions. We're talking about cornerbacks. Talking about moving D. Milner to free safety. And you know, next week, I don't believe we have another show before training camp. So obviously we'll get into some more of this stuff. We didn't hit on the weaknesses on the defense. We're going to talk about a little bit about special teams. We're going to talk about some veterans on the roster bubble. We're going to talk about some underrated, overrated players. We're going to talk about our most interesting battles to watch in camp, you know, whether it be, you know, Shaq Evans versus Owusu or whatever, you know, the bottom of the roster, wide receiver, cornerback, running back. We're going to talk about all that stuff next week. You know, maybe we'll do a 53-man roster prediction. I'm not sure if we're going to do that. But, you know, we definitely have a lot of things to talk about, you know, next week. We definitely appreciate Jerry behind the scenes, you know, screening the calls, running that behind the scenes. And we appreciate Nick running the Twitter while we're doing on the show. So definitely a shout out to those guys. We really appreciate what you do. Everybody go check out the JetNation.com forums. Everything, you know, anything we talk about today, you can find that and two times more on the Jet Nation forum. So go check that out if you're bored. I know we're all bored right now waiting for Jets football to roll around. So go out there, throw out a crazy topic you want to talk about, and you will get, you know, a couple people answering to your posts. So go check that out. Vinny, I'm excited for next week. We're really, really getting down to the nitty gritty. We're about to get into training camp, which quickly leads into preseason games, which quickly leads into the opener versus the Browns. And before you know it, it's going to be the end of the Jets season. We're going to be talking about, you know, free agents we should pick up, what we should do in the offseason, and people we should draft. But I'm definitely looking forward to next week's show and, you know, getting down to more of this nitty-gritty with some of these veterans on the roster bubble and topics like that, man.
Yeah, I mean, you know, great show again. Thanks for the callers. You know, it was you know, great talking to see all the different, you know, all their inputs. It's really cool. You know, hey, another great show. You know, again, we're about 3.5 weeks away from that first preseason game in, I believe, in Detroit, August 13th. That's going to be
Detroit.
You know, it's right around the corner, man. Like you just said, the season's going to be here, and it's going to be over in the blink of an eye. I mean, that's just the way, you know, football works. It feels like you wait a, you know, eternity for the season to come. And then before you know it, every day is Sunday. So, I mean, that's just the nature of the sport. You know, I mean, obviously everyone's so excited. I know, you know, it's going to be, it's just, you know, there's so much excitement getting up to this season, so many headlines that are going to be playing out. You know, it's just, you know, one of the, you know, great things about the off season is that we get to look, you know, before anyone gets hurt, before anyone, you know, has a bad year, where we can look about, you know, what we think they're going to have, you know, talk about all these bold predictions, talk about what we think is going to happen, what they should do.
Yep.
You know, feel, you know, it gets everyone really excited. You know, thanks for everyone listening. You know, again, you know, next week, be the last show before training camp. That's gonna be
that's gonna be a must listen.
You know, we'll talk, you know, like you just said, talk about all those things about getting into the roster battles. You know, there's so many of them. You know, you feel like it's at every position. There's a roster battle. I know, and you know, I just really can't wait. To see Leonard Williams on the field. He's gonna have that 7.5 sacks, like I said. It's gonna be a great year. I mean, I just can't wait to next week to talk about more Jets football.
Yeah, no, we'll definitely get into some more, you know, next week. And I believe, you know, this is one of the only years in the last couple of years we're actually excited for the team. I actually believe we're going to, like, what, maybe 12 games. We're going to drive up to Indianapolis, possibly. No, actually, it's almost definite now. We're driving up to Indianapolis. We're probably going to go to the Patriots game. We're probably, honestly, if the Jets are in playoff position, we're going to end up going to the Buffalo Bills game last week of the season. So we'll see how that works out. But, no, we're definitely excited for, you know, training camp to kick the season off. We have an interesting team. We have a competent head coach. Hopefully, you know, he hasn't hit the field yet, but we'll see about that. You know, we're ready to go to training camp. Me and you are going to get up there for a day, so we'll be tweeting out, you know, pictures of guys and predictions and things like that when we actually go. So that will be fun, and maybe we'll actually get an interview or two. We'll see how that works out. But, no, I'm definitely down, you know, happy to get this episode over with, to get one more episode closer to training camp, to preseason. All the Jets fans are biting their nails in anticipation, you know, waiting for that moment to come where you actually watch real football again instead of watching CFL and arena football like I am right now. So it's almost, you know, I'm very desperate. But no, Vinny, I'm excited for next week. And thanks, man. Thanks to you, to all the callers. We appreciate all the support, and we will get back to you next week, 8 o'clock, same place, same time, you know, same place. Goodbye.